This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Dr. Dolan, are you familiar with the Johns Hopkins All Children's clinical policy on ketamine infusion? Right. Dr. Dolan, in your experience, is death from pulmonary embolus slow?
Slow then and quick.
Please approach. Sustained.
I have no further questions.
Thank you, Dr. Dolan.
I'm going to probably half an hour. I know I'm limited on time, but I don't know if we want to take a break now or continue.
Are you all good to go for half an hour plus whatever additional questions will come up?
Did I hear you testify that Maya did not receive propofol after October 7th?
Not to my recollection.
Will we please put up 1001-1294? You see the top entry there, propofol on October 8th?
Yes.
Please put up 1001-1307.
Can I explain?
No. There's no pending question.
She's allowed to explain.
You have redirect. The question was not perceived, Mr. Webb.
Thank you. October 13th, propofol?
For anesthesia care.
Propofol?
For anesthesia care.
6 days after
the 7th. So she had a procedure.
6 days after the 7th.
But she had a procedure.
Did you testify that she did not receive propofol after October 7th?
Not to my recollection.
Your recollection was incorrect.
You gotta let me explain.
Was your recollection incorrect?
The propofol that she received was not part of the weaning. This is a second encounter where the patient was undergoing general anesthesia. So it was no part of the weaning treatment.
You didn't testify to that detail in your direct, did you? 1001-1309.
Propofol on the 14th? That's again for anesthesia event.
So you testified.
That's my nurse anesthetist.
Okay. You testified she received it on one day, but she received it on 4 days.
For different purposes.
Now, Dr. Dolan, you're not just any other physician, right? In terms of Johns Hopkins and your roles there. You have been the corporate representative in this courtroom multiple days, have you not?
Correct.
So what you say binds Johns Hopkins. Are you aware of that?
I don't know what you are trying to imply.
All right. What you say is the position of Johns Hopkins as the corporate representative.
Same objection.
Sustained.
How many days have you attended trial here as the corporate representative?
I'm not sure, like four?
What testimony have you heard?
Can we approach, please?
Which witness's testimony have you observed as the corporate representative.
I observe Dr. Cantu. I observe last Friday, I observe the neuropsychologist from Tampa. I don't know her name. I observed the position of Dr. Hanna, the video. I observe Dr. Kilpatrick testimony. Those are the main ones I remember.
Were you here when your colleague, Dr. Richard Elliott, testified?
No.
Have you discussed his testimony with him?
No.
Now, in addition to being the corporate representative on several days, you're also not just any other physician because you serve on hospital committees. I heard you testify to that in your direct, but you left an important one out. As of 2016, you were on the medical executive committee of the hospital, were you not?
It's possible, but I don't remember exactly.
You don't remember if you were on the medical executive committee in
2016? I know I was a member of the medical executive committee. I don't remember if it was in 2016.
Please put up 2142-001. All right, I'm going to read off names. If you, Mr. Reyes, please highlight as I go. Joseph Perno, first one. Anthony Napolitano, fourth.
Objection, relevance, Your Honor. Fifth vote, please.
Dr. Jenny Dolan is about four down from Napolitano. Dr. Michelle Smith. Were you here for Dr. Michelle Smith's testimony?
No.
Dr. Suzanne Jackman?
No.
You're aware that she treated her on Maya's previous hospitalizations at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
I think so, yes.
Diana Young?
I wasn't aware.
Mark Cabot?
Yes.
If you could scroll down a bit, please. Anthony Kreisman?
Yes.
Ex officio members, Dr. Dipti Amin?
Yes.
Is Dr. Amin with us today?
Correct.
As the corporate representative?
Yes.
Jonathan Allen, the president, served on that committee with you. And Mark Stroud, the chairman of the board. Does this refresh your recollection that you were on the medical executive committee as of 2016?
I knew I was part of the medical executive committee, but that committee got dissolved, and I didn't know in which year, so that's why I said I don't remember if it's 2016.
Now, were you here for either Dr. Perno's or Dr. Napolitano's depositions when those were played for the jury?
No.
Yourself, Dr. Michelle Smith, Dr. Diane Young, Dr. Mark Cavett, and Dr. Amin. Five of you were on the team during Maya's 3-month hospitalization, were you not?
Yes.
And the other two that I didn't mention there, Dr. Jackman and Dr. Kreisman, had seen Maya on multiple previous occasions before this October admission, right?
Yes.
How many times had Maya been an inpatient at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital in 2015 and 2016 before October 7th?
I don't have that. I don't know exactly how many times.
You weren't aware that she was an inpatient on four previous occasions?
I knew she was an inpatient at least once. I didn't know specifically how many times.
And you were aware, you weren't or you were aware that she had been there on an outpatient basis 16 previous times?
No.
You, Dr. Dolan, saw her for the first time on October 7th, right?
I think so.
All right, just for a moment, if you could put up Trial Exhibit 2143-001. And this is the 2017 Medical Executive Committee. Were you still on it, Dr. Dolan?
Yes.
So you testified a few minutes ago that your memory was foggy because it had dissolved, but it hadn't dissolved by 2016 or 2017.
Sustained.
Had the Medical Executive Committee dissolved in 2017?
Based on this paper, not yet.
So during Maya's hospitalization, you served both years on the Medical Executive Committee. If we could put up Joint Exhibit 1079-0028, please. And I'll represent to you, Dr. Dolan, this is the All Children's Hospital Medical Staff Bylaws. And on the page I've got in front of you here, we're discussing the duties and scope of the Medical Executive Committee. If we go down further to 7.1-2, please, let's talk about the responsibilities of the Medical Executive Committee. C includes providing a liaison between the medical staff and the CEO of the hospital. Right?
Yes.
You agree that's the function, one of the functions of the Medical Executive Committee?
Correct.
And D, make recommendations to the CEO and board on hospital management. Correct?
Correct.
And during Maya's hospitalization, five physicians who served on the Medical Executive Committee were part of her team.
Objection outside the scope, direct.
Overruled.
Right?
Correct.
I'm going to show you a number of records over the next 15 or 20 minutes. And I want to give you the opportunity to point out some things in your notes if I missed them, because you testified to things that I believe are not your notes. So, if you see trembling in any of your notes, which you describe on direct, please let me know, okay?
Objection, argumentative.
Overruled. You may continue, Mr. Whitney.
You understand, Dr. Dolan?
Yes.
All right. If you see dark circles describing Maya's eyes at the time of admission in your records as I show them to you, please stop me, okay? Mm-hmm. If you see rage mentioned in your note anywhere, please let me know.
Remember, the question was about recollection.
Ma'am, if you see those three terms, phrases in your note, to stop me.
Okay.
All right. Also, you testified on direct examination in reference to Beata and Maya Kowalski that they used foul language.
Correct.
So I'd like you to, I know you entered a note about Maya using profanity, right?
What did you say?
You entered a note about Maya using profanity.
I don't remember.
Okay. If at any point during the next 15 to 20 minutes, you see a note where you mention Beata Kowalski using profanity, please stop me. Also, I'd like you to look for anything where you suggested in your note that Maya said anything to the effect of, I'm going to have a heart attack.
Okay.
Compound argumentative.
No. I'm going to agree on compound. I'm going to overrule argumentative.
Would you please identify for me in your records, if you see it, anywhere you see Maya say, I'm going to have a heart attack?
Okay.
And would you also identify in your records anywhere you say, Maya said, I'm dying? So, you were involved in October, on October 7th and October 9th, correct?
Correct.
And your plan, as discussed with Jack and Beata Kowalski, was to wean Maya off of the medications.
Correct.
And discharge her early the next week.
Yes.
That was the plan.
Yes.
That's the plan they agreed to.
Yes.
You, Dr. Dolan, were not involved as that week progressed. So let's give everyone a point of reference. October 7th was a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
October 9th was a Sunday. The plan that was agreed to was to wean her off of medications and then discharge her early the next week, which would be Monday the 10th, Tuesday or the 11th, correct?
I don't know when.
All right. You weren't attending the attending anesthesiologist for Maya Kowalski during that Monday to Friday, critical Monday to Friday, 10th through the 13th.
Correct? I was not.
All right. So, you don't know, or do you, upon your review of the records, that when the parents attempted to discharge their daughter against medical advice, security was notified?
No.
You're not aware of that?
No.
May I put up for a moment 1001-0062? I believe there was a testimony. She regularly relies on other nurses' notes and physician notes. Do you regularly rely on the notes of the critical care physicians on the multidisciplinary team?
Same objection.
Thank you. So your testimony is that Maya used profanity.
Correct.
So what?
It was part of my observations of the things that happened. That's it.
Does that mean that the hospital could ignore her pain?
Not at all, and that was not the case.
Does that mean that the hospital could then take her off her pain meds?
She was never taking off other pain medications. The only medication we removed was ketamine.
You're not aware that she was taking off all of her pain medications?
Not all of them, no.
You're not aware that Dr. Deese and Dr. Smith decided to take her off all of her pain medications?
No.
Since she cussed, does that mean that the hospital could lie to her about her mom being in a mental institution?
Those are your observations.
I'll sustain the argument of...
Since she cussed, did that mean that the hospital could covertly videotape her for 48 hours?
Same objection.
That has nothing to do one thing to the other.
I'm just wondering what it has to do with. What's so important about Maya using profanity on October 7th when she was in severe distress?
That was an observation of my recollection of that day. That was part of my observations of that day.
Because Maya Kowalski allegedly swore on October 7th when she was in acute pain, did that mean that the hospital could strip her down to her training bra and take photographs?
Argumentative.
Overruled.
No.
Did that mean, because she swore, that the hospital could retaliate against Maya Kowalski for the next 97 days?
She was not.
A lack of foundation.
Sustained that.
You spent, as a physician, less than 3 hours with Maya Kowalski, right?
No, quite. On that Friday, I didn't leave the hospital until past midnight, so I left the hospital like early Saturday morning. I remember Dr. Bose called me around 10 something or 11 p.m. To the bedside, and throughout the day I was in and out of that room, beginning from, I will say, after noon or 1 p.m., so I was multiple times in that room.
I said 3 hours. What would your estimate be of the total time you spent with Maya Kowalski?
I don't know, maybe four, or just on the first day.
4 hours in day one.
More or less.
All right. In total, over the 97 days that Mike Walski was at All Children's Hospital during that admission, how many hours do you estimate you spent with her?
What did you say?
How many hours do you estimate you spent with Mike Walski over those 3 months?
I think in average for a chronic pain patient, we spend around at least 35 minutes.
So in total, 4 hours on the first day, and then 35 minutes on subsequent encounters?
More or less.
Would you estimate then, 7 hours total?
Approximately.
Less than one shift with Mike Walski over those 3 months?
Yes.
And you're not a psychologist or psychiatrist, right?
Correct.
And you wouldn't claim that has spent 7 hours with a child over the course of 3 months gives you a basis to know what's going on in that child's mind, would you?
No.
Let's pull up 1010048. And Dr. Dolan, I just want to show you this page to show you that this is your October 7th progress note. Would you agree?
Correct.
And if we could please advance to 1001-0051. At the top of the page, it says diagnosed by Dr. Kirkpatrick in Tampa. You were aware of that by October 7th?
Correct.
Oh, I'd like you to point out at any point in your notes as well if you can show me anywhere where you tried to compare Maya's signs and symptoms to the Budapest criteria. Now,
bordering on expert testimony, there you are.
Are you familiar with the Budapest criteria?
Correct.
As a treating physician?
Yes.
Will you please point out to me if you, in any of your notes, tried to stack up her signs and symptoms against the Budapest criteria?
Same objection, Your Honor.
On that one, no, it's overruled.
Now, if you could drop that window for a second, because I want to look at the third paragraph down. It says, reports, and then gabapentin ineffective. No discussion of any cognitive, behavioral therapy, or other non-pharmacologic treatment. Is that what it means, non-pharmacologic treatment?
Correct.
And this was your understanding as of your encounter on October 7th?
Correct. That was the information that I had.
So you weren't aware that she had been receiving cognitive behavioral therapy at Eagles Wings Counseling Center?
No.
And you weren't aware of her previous non-pharmacologic treatments that you testified to? Physical therapy at Tampa General Hospital for a month inpatient?
No. Actually, on Sunday, I learned that she had received physical therapy from having a conversation with Mr. Kowalski, but I didn't know that she had been admitted for a period of time.
And then in the bottom of that paragraph here, it says she was seen by Dr. Hart at that time and am unsure of the follow-up to those recommendations. Dr. Hart is who?
He was a physiatrist from the hospital.
And you were not sure of whether they'd followed up on Dr. Hart's recommendations as of October 7th?
Correct.
Were you aware that he saw her the previous July of 2015?
No.
And so you weren't aware that they did follow up on Dr. Hart's recommendations and attend an inpatient rehab program?
I didn't know it was his recommendation.
So you weren't aware that the first line of treatment that you had testified to earlier today, PTOT, CBT, had failed Mike Kowalski before they moved to pharmacological treatment options, were you?
No.
I'd like to advance to page 0053. The third paragraph that begins with PICU and pain team agreed on this plan. It says acute flare of pain. You'd agree that Mike Kowalski was undergoing or experiencing an acute flare of pain on October 7th?
Yes.
And that you noted that cognitive behavioral therapy will be a key component to her care?
Correct.
Are you aware that she received between 3 and 5 hours of cognitive behavioral therapy over the next 3 months at the hospital?
As I said before, we didn't have the capacity to provide the amount of cognitive behavioral therapy.
Were you here when Dr. Katzenstein testified?
No.
Were you aware that the reason was she had to run over between appointments and couldn't make time for Mike Kowalski?
I knew she had an outpatient.
Testimony. Argumentative.
Sustained.
And so the next paragraph, the third line down begins, goals for discharge early next week. This is the plan that was discussed, right?
Correct.
Monday, Tuesday, discharge.
Whatever time it took us from weaning her from the medication.
And then the plan was to follow up with Dr. Hannah and allow Beata and Jack to take their daughter to the clinic they wanted.
Correct.
And even in this early date, October 7th, the next line here at the bottom, PICU nursing leadership, social work, and risk management were all present. Is risk management making treatment decisions in this hospital?
Yeah,
no.
Argumentative.
Overrule on that one.
Social work. Who was there from social work, if you recall?
I don't recall who was there.
Was it Catherine Beattie?
I couldn't tell you if it was her.
All right. Now, if you could zoom out for a second, I want to go to the next paragraph. You were the attending anesthesiologist, right?
Correct.
Member of the medical executive committee.
Yes.
Chief of the anesthesiology department.
Yes.
And you reached out to Dr. Richard Elliott about this issue.
Yes.
To seek his opinion.
That's common practice among us. When we have a doubt or when we want to discuss a particular case, that's what we usually do.
He was in his garden when you called him?
I believe so.
And he searched on his phone for whether this treatment was appropriate or not?
I don't think he searched on his phone.
Who was making decisions? Was it you or Dr. Elliott?
It was me, but I also had a conversation with him. At the end of the day, the decisions were made by me with the PQ team.
If we move to the next page, you recount a discussion with Beata after a long discussion, the mother agreed but refused psych consult. See that, doctor?
Correct.
Were you weren't aware at that point that they'd already seen psychologists at multiple institutions?
No.
Does it make sense knowing that she might refuse a psych consult in that context?
Calls for speculation.
Not really.
All right. And so you did October 7th and then October 9th. And then, if my notes are correct, you didn't see the child again until the first part of November.
Correct.
As you sit here today, does Maya Kowalski have complex regional pain syndrome?
It depends on when. That will be the question. What did I think during the time she was with us?
What did you think during the time that she was with you?
At the beginning, I thought she had CRPS. I accepted the diagnosis of the outside physician as the truth, and I treated her for CRPS during all the time, as you can see on my notes.
Mm-hmm. And then?
And then I start seeing inconsistencies on her presentation. And then I had doubts, but I didn't change my approach. I still kept on treating her as if she had CRPS.
So you never refuted the diagnosis of complex regional pain syndrome?
Correct.
So as we sit here today, complex regional pain syndrome is an uncurable disease. You're aware of that?
Not in the pediatric population.
Complex regional pain syndrome has a cure?
They get on remission.
I'm sorry?
They get on remission. They get better. A big percentage of the pediatric population, they get better. And they may never in their life have another episode of CRPS.
It goes into remission, but it's not cured, is it?
For most of the patients, it is.
It's a lifelong condition, is it not?
Not for most of the patients.
Were you here by chance for the testimony of Dr. Crane, the hospital's complex regional pain syndrome expert?
No.
You're not aware that Dr. Crane testified that two-thirds of pediatric patients will relapse?
Argumentative foundation. No. Also trying to have a comment on the opinions of another expert.
Yeah, sustaining us to the last one.
So, at any point during her 97-day hospitalization, did you refute the diagnosis of complex regional pain syndrome?
I did not.
And so, the treatment recommendations you made at the beginning that this patient required significant cognitive behavioral therapy remained accurate throughout.
Correct.
And she received 5 hours.
And I gave you the reasons.
Did you ever, do you claim to be an expert on complex regional pain syndrome?
Objection, Your Honor, address this at sidebar.
Did you ever review the neuropsychological consult of Dr. James Lewis?
Same objection.
What time?
It was, yeah. I'm sorry. During your November encounters of Michael.
When was the evaluation?
October 18th.
I don't remember reviewing it.
You, Dr. Dolan, never consulted a pediatric neurologist to rule in or rule out complex regional pain syndrome, did you?
You don't need a pediatric neurologist to rule out or rule in the complex regional pain syndrome.
So you disagree with the findings of Dr. Lewis?
Same objection.
Same. You saw her again on November 15th and November 29th. Do you know who the social worker was in charge of Maya Kowalski's care?
No.
It never came to your attention?
No.
And you testified on direct that Maya stated that she'd been lied to?
Correct.
That was a statement made to you?
Yes.
If we could put up, did you think that was inaccurate, that she was being lied to by the hospital?
I wasn't lying to her, and the comment was directed to me, and that's why I put it in commas.
Are you aware that that came to the attention of risk management?
No.
Can we put up 2277-248, please?
Objection, Your Honor, foundation.
Overall.
This is a note from the risk management file and evidence, and you'll see there, Maya feels that Johns Hopkins Children's Hospital is lying to her about her mother, and that doctors are lying about her parents. Have you ever seen that note before?
No.
Comment on a note she claims she had no knowledge of.
You just asked if she saw it.
I said no.
And in your role on the medical executive committee, that statement to risk management never came to your attention.
Correct.
And after Maya was discharged in January 2017, at no time did the medical executive committee discuss Maya Kowalski's 97 days in that hospital?
No, that I'm aware of.
There were 5 treating physicians on the committee, and it was never discussed.
Objection,
argumentative. No, that I'm aware of.
When did you learn that Beata Kowalski had taken her own life?
I don't remember the exact day. I don't remember the exact day. I know that I was supposed to testify that week. I think I don't know the reason for the testimony. But I received an email saying that I was not going to testify anymore. And then I received a phone call from risk management informing me that the mother had died.
And even after you learned this in the first part of 2017, while you were serving on the medical executive committee, The medical executive committee never discussed that this mother of a patient had taken her own life.
Check. Relevance.
Deferral.
No. But we were treating Maya, not the mother.
Nothing further at the moment.
Dr. Dolan, can you approximate how long the medication weaning Maya Kowalski was on that started approximately October 7th of 2016?
Could you please repeat the question?
Yeah. Can you approximate how long Maya Kowalski's medication wean was at Johns Hopkins starting around October 7th of 2016?
Approximately between 5 to 7 days.
And do you recall some questions about the use of propofol for a procedure?
Correct.
Can you please explain to the jury why propofol is used for various surgical or other invasive procedures?
As I mentioned before, propofol is a pure anesthetic medication. It is used for sedation or to put patients under anesthesia.
So when propofol was used earlier, on October 7th, earlier in the admission, why was propofol being used on Maya Kowalski?
To control her agitation. That was the purpose at the beginning. And we started in the middle of the night of the 7th, so that's why you could see that it finished on the 8th. That was the overlapping. I believe it was for 4 hours.
And then later on, about a week later or so, you were shown some records that propofol was used again. Do you recall that?
Correct.
And why was propofol being used at that point of Maya Kowalski's hospitalization?
She had gastric endoscopy. Remember that she arrived with abdominal pain, and that was part of the evaluation, so she had to go under general anesthesia.
And what is an endoscopy?
An endoscopy, they come with a camera. It's like a hose with a camera at the end, and they go through the mouth, and they go all the way down to the stomach to see if they are able to see any pathology.
You recall being asked by Mr. Whitney some questions about Maya Kowalski yelling and screaming earlier in the admission when you were on shift. Do you recall that?
Correct.
Can a patient yelling and screaming be a sign of withdrawal?
Yes.
Objection, Foundation, move to strike.
Overruled. Anything else, Mr. Hughes?
No further questions this time, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr.
Not at this time, Your Honor.
Members of the jury, any of you have questions?
Questions coming?
No.
No? Okay.
Dr. Dolan, you testified you spent 30 hours with Mayan, or 3 hours with Maya and her family. Let me start again. You testified you spent 3 hours with Maya and her family on your first visit. Did you not follow up with questions with the family to see what treatments Maya had had prior to coming to the hospital as part of your history?
I did. And the response was that, as I mentioned before, the ketamine treatment, there was no mention of psychological or psychiatric evaluation. I didn't know at that point that she had undergone physical therapy. The first time I heard about the physical therapy was on Sunday by the father, but that was the information that I had that day.
How much formal training had you had in treating CRPS patients prior to treating Maya?
CRPS is a big part of the education as a general anesthesiologist. It's a condition that we encounter with frequency as an adult. I had a formal training through my pain rotations, both at Jackson Memorial and at the VA hospital, that in the adult population. In the pediatric population, it is a very uncommon condition, We see it enough time that it is part also our education. I have seen patients with CRPS both in the Jackson Memorial and in Miami Children.
How many CRPS patients had you treated prior to treating Maya?
In average, in the past, we used to see like 7 to 8 CRPS patients a year. Coincidentally, while we had Maya in the hospital, we had, during that period of time, we had 2 other patients. Not the overlapping the whole time, but one of them was in the hospital for a few days. The other one was very brief, no more than 1 day. That was in the past, before we had the CRPS program. Now that we have the CRPS program, we see around 3 to 4 a month, but it's because we see patients from all over the country, not just from our catchment area or the population that we cover.
Mr. Hughes.
I have nothing more.
Anything further from the jury? Okay, may this doctor be excused?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Members of the jury, I am told we have an approximate 30-ish minute deposition. Do you want to? Sorry, go for it.
We have about an 8-minute deposition and 2 emails to publish, so I'll leave it up to the jury if they want a short break or want to work through another 15 minutes.
So do you want to take a break, or do you want to do what Mr. Shapiro just said, and then you can leave?
15 minutes total, and then we can wrap up.
That's it.
Yeah, well, we can take a short break if it's easy.
Sure. I can wait.
You sure?
No, don't
Well, take a 5-minute
we've
break.
We've got time. Why don't we take 5 minutes?
Yes. Take 5 minutes.
Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All right. Yours next.
I'm sorry. Break and then we'll come back. Any issues we need to address before we bring in the jury from the defense?
Sure.
We're going to play a video that I think is under 10 minutes. I'm going to publish 2 emails that will be 5 minutes or less, and then we're going to shut down for the day.
With the jury.
With the jury. They seem ready to get going to Halloween.
That sounds great.
Okay. Ms. Lawrence, are there any issues we need to address before we bring the jury back?
No.
Let's bring back the jury.
Well, I saw you had papers. I don't know if you were about to raise them.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Not anymore. All rise. Jurors entering.
I guess if you lose the light battle, at least you can get to use the bathroom when you want to, right? Ms. Quarles.
Yes, we have
I'm so sorry. I forgot to ask. I want to confirm while you're away. You did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did no investigation and received no information. Is that correct?
Correct.
Did not see any media reports.
Correct.
No one approached you.
Correct.
Now, Ms. Quarles, I apologize.
We have a very short deposition, about 10 minutes of Koala Padron. It's actually two depths. I'm sorry, two depths, so there'll be a short break in between.
Ma'am, could you raise your right hand, please? Solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Please state your name for the record.
Paola Padron.
And where do you live, Ms. Padron?
Atlanta, Georgia.
When was the last time you worked for Jay Hatch?
I want to say December 2017.
And what was your position the last time you were there?
I was the child abuse coordinator with the social work department.
And was that considered a management position?
No.
But so as far as you know, you were not ever management level at Johns Hopkins. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, will the witness please raise your right hand and raise your right hand and please repeat the following declaration for the record. I declare my testimony in this matter is under penalty of perjury.
I declare that my testimony is under...
In this matter is under penalty of perjury.
In this matter is under penalty of perjury.
Thank you. The witness having declared that her testimony in this matter is under penalty of perjury and the parties having stated their agreement for the record, you may proceed.
This is in December now. Let me just ask you something very frankly. Mm-hmm. During the time that you saw Maya over this 3-month period, did you see her acting like an abnormal child of faking injuries, faking things, not telling the truth, acting strangely, cussing, crying, any of these, well, maybe not the crying, but any of these allegations against her? Did you personally observe any of that?
I personally did not.
Well, during this period of time, if you had seen Maya have any acting out, let's call it this time, you would have put it in your note, would you not?
Yes.
And then we go to 032320, rather poignant one from December 23rd, 2016. Did you have to work on Christmas?
We were oftentimes on call, and given that I was a new social worker, I wouldn't be surprised because it was kind of the newer social workers covered more so the holidays.
Well, it says plan. This is on December 23rd, 2016 at 12:20. It's like my eye has been in the hospital about 3 months. Action taken or intervention completed. And then can you read what it says there?
Yes. You want me to read it out loud?
Please.
Okay. It says, this worker dropped off Maya's dresses to her that were delivered by her family for Christmas. Maya appeared in good spirits and showed a lot of excitement for the new dresses. Maya was smiling and happy during this time.
So she liked getting the Christmas gifts, right?
Yes. She was very happy from what I remember to see her dresses and was holding them.
And the do you remember any more interaction with Maya about Christmas this year?
No, sir.
She had to spend Christmas away from her family?
I don't really recall the details of Christmas for her.
Well, she was still there when you came back after Christmas, right?
Right. I don't remember her family went to see her or not.
In your actions with Maya Kowalski, were you trying to inflict emotional distress on her?
Not at all.
Did you ever observe anybody at Johns Hopkins indicating that they wanted to inflict emotional distress on Maya Kowalski?
No.
Generally speaking, when you deal with social workers, is that your impression that they're there to help kids?
Yes.
Do you have any reason to to suspect that Kathy Betty was trying to inflict emotional distress on Maya?
No.
Your Honor, we would like to next publish what's in evidence as defense joint defense exhibit 3160.
If it's in evidence, you may.
And it's an email, Beata Kowalski, to Beata Kowalski, February 2nd,
Anyone need more time? Okay. Mr. Shapiro?
Sure. One more, Your Honor. 3164. Which is in evidence.
Anyone need more time?
I guess to quote the name of the store, in the spirit of Halloween, we're going to conclude our presentation for today and pick back up tomorrow.
Okay. Members of the jury, this is going to be a time that we're going to excuse you for today. Tomorrow, 9 a.m., do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do the investigation. Receive no information. Remember, tomorrow is a day that will be the last day of your being with us this week. So you will not be here Thursday or Friday. We will see you on tomorrow at 9 a.m.
All rise.
The jury's out of our presence. Everyone, please be seated. Actually, sorry. Can I see the attorneys up here for a moment? Are there other issues that we need to address today ourselves here?
No. Has there been a determination on Richards yet? Or Neuberger?
Yeah, who are they calling? That would be helpful to know for rebuttal.
Dr. Neuberger tried to call me at lunch, but I didn't have time to discuss. He indicated last Friday that he should be well enough to get some Zoom testimony this week. I'll email defense counsel tonight once I learn the answer to that. Dr. Richards, I don't know, that's a Mr. Anderson question.
By 6, 7? We gotta prepare.
Yeah, absolutely. By six or seven, we'll have answers on Richards and Newberg.
How about no later than 6?
Yeah. Okay, no later than 6, we'll have answers on those.
And let's talk about what's happening tomorrow.
Oh, we have 2 witnesses, Judge, 2 nurses. We don't anticipate, not PICU nurses. We don't anticipate them being particularly long on direct, depending on the cross. That's why we think we should be done before noon. And then we have a short... 10 minutes or less.
We have about 10 minutes of testimony that we were going to publish
of the plaintiffs.
15 minutes would probably be on the one. It's under 20. Whether it's 8 minutes or 12 minutes or 15, it's in that range.
So we don't see any reason why we wouldn't be closing. Hopefully before noon.
Resting. Depending on the cross
of the nurses.
And besides the 2 that we just talked about before 6, you've got Maya Kowalski, Jack Kowalski,
Dr. Corcoran, Dr. Neuberger, maybe Dr. There's something else I'm forgetting. That's all I would call at the moment. But again, if there's any change to that, we will let them know by 6 p.m. I think that's the complete roster.
We are going to ask for very brief proffers. I mean, I don't want to waste the court's time now about it because it's late, but I have difficulty envisioning what Dr. Richards could talk about in rebuttal since we didn't call a psychiatrist. But, you know, anyway.
Okay. And how many more exhibits does the
there's just a couple
defense have?
Seriously, I'm going to withdraw 3228. We're not adding any more to this list, to my knowledge, Judge. So I think
we should be. My suggestion is we'll be talk, but we could be here by 8:30.
I think if we were here at 8:30, we can easily deal with exhibits. And by then, we hope to have. We're going to try and have the at least to the plaintiff the. Completed exhibit,
the Excel screen.
Understand it, chart, and then we are going to want to confirm, and maybe we could do that Thursday. I don't know if we're Thursday morning. We are going to want to confirm what we have in, you know, just confirm that we have the correct understanding of what's in and what's not. When would we do that, Judge?
Well, Thursday morning, I'm going to be sitting here doing jury instructions.
Right.
So,
so long as you're quiet, I don't mind. If I don't know if they're going to be willing to do that while I'm doing jury instructions or not. Otherwise, perhaps after that. Are the plaintiffs going to have any other exhibits in their rebuttal case?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do we have a list, and have you provided it to the defense?
We will have a list. Ms. Morris and I were discussing that, and we'll have that to them this evening.
By what time?
8 p.m.
Can we try it by 7?
All right. 7 p.m.
Thank you. Before the sun goes down. How about that?
Which we'll take 7.
I don't think that's southern anymore.
Well, we have to trick or treat.
Okay.
I
didn't hear it. The Kushners on your list, are they not?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Thank you. Ms. Kushner and Mr. Anderson's at home. I don't know if he's been able to make contact with her, but yes, to the extent we can get her here, we will call her for the part of the testimony that was discussed.
Okay, is she live?
I don't know the answer, not having been there to prep this afternoon.
So it's either going to be live or by Zoom, it sounds like.
Can I ask maybe counsel to connect with Mr. Anderson briefly? Maybe he knows the answer to some of these questions, and then we'd have them a lot earlier.
Sure, I'll be right back. That's helpful.
Why don't you put him on speakerphone?
All right. Well, he doesn't know how to use Do Not Disturb, so we're going to get his voicemail first, and I'm going to try again. But here we go.
I just thought he might know the answers to these questions.
I guess Alina Kushner will be here live.
Hey. Hey, Greg. Everyone's asking to hear from you.
Tell him he's on speaker.
Hold on. We're here in the courtroom, and you're on speakerphone. The question, I think, we just learned that Alina Kushner will be here live, correct?
Correct.
And then Dr. Richards, are we planning to call him tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. I have Dr. Neuberger, Dr. Richards, Dr. Corcoran, Alina Kushner, Maya, and Jack. I think that's the complete list, right?
At this point, it's the complete list. We have some options here and there, but we've run out of time, I believe. So I can't promise that we won't substitute or put another person in.
Hey, Greg. Let me cut you off. The ruling is we have to tell them by 6 p.m. this evening.
All right. Here it is. If we can't get Neuberger, Chopra is going to do it.
All right. And we'll have that answer by 6 p.m.
As soon as we get in touch with Eli.
All right. Anything else? That's
it. Chopra's going to do what?
The question is, what is Dr. Chopra going to do is a question from the court.
Dr. Chopra will rebut the ketamine, that there are addictive properties and withdrawals, mostly withdrawal symptoms as the ketamine, and refute that. He will also talk about refuting at least one of the doctor's testimony as to the method in which they took care of Maya. And you're going to ask me specifically what it is. I don't know that right now. He just mentioned to me that he had an opinion on it.
Judge, can I ask the court? My understanding of rebuttal is that it's to rebut new evidence. It's not to come back in and repeat your opinions that you've already testified to. You don't get to come in and repeat your case.
I tend to agree with Ms. Crowell's.
That's really the heart's of a dilemma, is it not? Because on one hand, I can't just simply come in and repeat my case. But on the other hand, if I introduce anything new, then I'm being accused of hiding things.
Yeah.
So the best I can do is put on my witnesses and ask the questions. And I'm sure that the defense will object if there's anything objectionable, and the court will rule. But other than that, I can't do anything about it.
Judge, well, that's why we're
this is not an advisory ruling, but my general view of rebuttal is you are rebutting an issue that was raised by the defense, and it's not a let me say what I've already said again.
Oh, yeah. You've made that clear, Judge. You've made that absolutely clear.
And I intend on, and if you attempt to just do that, I will sustain. So, you know, be targeted with what you're doing.
Yes, sir. You made it very plain on both my deadline in terms of time and what you expect in terms of rebuttal. I will tell the court, though, please keep in mind the horns of a dilemma for me in terms of rebutting things. Witnesses tell me things after they see the defense's case, and I want to put them on. Did I know them at that time? Well, I didn't know to ask the question to get whatever the information is out of them. But I am limiting that as much as I possibly can to things that are directly in rebuttal to what they want.
Well, Judge, it's not because you forgot to ask a question either. I'll leave it at that, yeah. Judge.
Mr. Anderson, if I may inquire, who's live versus who's by Zoom?
Chopra would be by Zoom. I think Corcoran would be by Zoom.
Corcoran will be live.
Okay. Then Maya and Jack will be live. And Elena Kushner will be live.
And Richards?
How about?
He'll be live.
Live, okay.
Okay. What was the time consumption of Paula Padron?
I just had it, Judge. I watched the note.
She was under 10 minutes. You can give it all to us.
Greg, I'm going to let you go. You need to say for Mr. Anderson, Your Honor.
Okay. Oh. I'll give 5 minutes of defense on that and zero to the plaintiff.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, at this point in time, the plaintiffs consumed an hour, and they're at 59 hours, 25 minutes. The defense consumed 2 hours, 40 minutes, and at 41 hours, 20 minutes.
That's why we can take the 10 minutes.
And are we going to be able to wrap the rebuttal case tomorrow?
Yeah. Did I hear that the court, we need to be out at 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock's today.
Tomorrow we can go.
Tomorrow we have jury instructions after we finish with court time, and I'm assuming whatever person is filing DV motions will be addressed at that time as well.
Judge,
I mean, we
would suggest it has to be done tomorrow.
We really need to get all evidence in tomorrow.
Well, if they rest before lunch in mid-morning, perhaps. We understand the 2.5-hour limit for our case, absolutely. We cannot control the cross-examination.
They understand that.
Yeah, seems understand that
doable,
more than you
but I can't promise.
Well, Judge, my point is the witnesses need to be here and ready and stacked up and ready to go.
I agree. We really need to finish all evidence. I need to be hearing both sides saying, I rest.
Yes.
Before we walk out the door tomorrow, that really needs to happen.
Yep. Loud and clear, Judge.
Mr. Hunter.
Just briefly, Judge, I spoke with the clerk's office a day or two ago, and I'm sure they'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I understood that we can cart off unused extraneous exhibits while the jury is deliberating after getting them from downstairs?
I just don't know which path we're going to be able to do, because I'm not going to want people going by where the jury is. And that would include, you know, big carts of...
Right. Is that still... I have no idea what the floor plan was.
Well, but it's going to mean either going through a courtroom or maybe out that the hallway at the end, and then they'd have to use the elevator, the public elevator.
Judge, I saw the second DCA is going to be here.
Next Thursday, the second DCA will be here for oral argument.
Where? I hear.
They will be in this building for coffee with the court in the morning. They will be seated for their oral arguments in the county commission chamber.
Oh, okay. I was envisioning this courtroom being taken over. Okay.
Originally, that was a plan, but it's going to be the county commission.
Okay.
All
right.
Anything else?
I just want to talk with the clerks.
That's fine. Anything else for me before I'm out of here?
No, no.
Hey, have a good afternoon and happy Halloween for those who are going to go trick-or-treat.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.